This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn was 441 and three quarters, up 6. May corn 447 and three quarters, up 6. July corn 452 and three quarters, up 6. March soybeans were 1313 and a quarter, up 20 and a half. May soybeans 1297 and a half, up 19 and a quarter. July soybeans 1279 and a half, up 17 and a quarter. March wheat 584 and a half, up 20 and three quarters. May wheat 586 and three quarters, up 21. July wheat 590, up 21 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
This is Thursday, the 23rd's report for grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon. Exports allowed wheat to post substantial gains. Technical trading gave corn an upturn, and soybean values were cut on the news from South America of a bountiful bean crop. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 5 higher, 405 to 427. Soybean bids were mixed at 1250 to 1270. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 cents higher, 401 to 426. Soybean bids were 2 to 7 lower at 1266 to 1293. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 cents higher at 415 to 436. Soybean bids were 3 to 5 lower at 1285 to 1315. And wheat bids were 5 to 9 cents higher at 550 to 598. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 cents lower at 1285 to 1302. Basis was steady at 8 to 25 over the March. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 453.70 to 463.70, down 70 cents, with basis steady at 35 to 45 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 3 cents higher at 429 the 437 with basis steady at option to 8 over the March. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids steady to 3 cents higher, 412 to 429, with basis steady to 3 higher, steady to 3 lower at 17 under to option the March. Soybeans ended 3 to 8 lower at 1277 to 1292, with basis steady to 5 lower at option to 15 over the March. And new crop wheat prices were 4 to 8 cents higher at 557 to 566, with basis steady to 4 lower at 25 to 16 under the March. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 446 to 447. These elevators raised their soybean prices 7 cents with quotations at 1325 to 1332. Soft wheat closed 7 to 8 higher at $6 to $6.05, and Milo ended the day 2 to 3 higher at $4.78 to $4.79. Contract bids for producers for new crop delivery corn in the northern part of the state for October to November delivery at $4.08 to $4.17. Soybeans for October delivery in the northern part of the state at 1064 to 1084. Corn for October-November delivery in the central part of the state at 404 to 424. Soybeans, new crop for October-November delivery at 1072 to 1098. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 405 to 429. And soybeans for October delivery in the southern part of the state at 1074 to 1113. And July wheat in the southern part of the state is 542 to 568. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock future quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle were 139.60, down 77 cents. April live cattle, 138.90, down 50 cents. June live cattle, 130.97, down 20 cents. March feeder cattle were 166.97, down $1.02. April feeder cattle, 167.50, down 90 cents. May feeder cattle, 168.17, down 87 cents. February lean hogs were 85.22, up 35 cents. April lean hogs, 93.12, up 27 cents. May lean hogs, 101.72, down 97 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Lyle Flock with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday, the 23rd afternoon livestock report. On the Illinois direct hog trade, bears and gilts at the country buying points, receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 10,024 head. The real livestock auction report for Wednesday, January the 22nd. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $2 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers, lightly tested cows, sold mostly $5 to $10 higher. Slaughter bulls, lightly tested feeder cattle, traded mostly steady. Choice steers sold from 138 to 145. Select and choice steers sold at 136.50. Holstein steers select and choice 122 to 125. Choice heifers sold from 135 to 146. Slaughter cows, boners, sold from 88.50 to 93.25. Breakers, 88.50 to 93.50. Leans, from 69 to 77. Slaughter bulls, sold from $93 to $95. That concludes the real livestock report. Skyler Livestock Report for Wednesday, January 22nd. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $2 to $3 higher. Too few of feeder cattle for a comparison. Trade was active with good demand. Choice steers sold from 138.50 to 146. Select steers 135 to 138. Holstein steers 115.50 to 118. Choice heifers sold from 138.25 to 146. Select heifers from 130 to 139. Slaughter cows premiums from 95 to 97. Breakers from 80.50 to 85. Leans from 62.50 to 66.25. That concludes the Schuyler Livestock Auction. The Greenville Auction on January 22nd. Receipts were 595 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers traded at $4 to $5 higher. Slaughter Holstein steers traded $4 higher. Cows traded steady, bulls traded $2 to $3 higher. Feeder cattle were mostly 5 to 10 higher. Choice steers sold from 138 to 147. Selects and choices sold from 132.50 to 138. Holstein choice steers sold from 125 to 135. Choice heifers sold from 138 to 147. In the cow trade, breaker cows sold from 90. Boners sold from 80 to 87. Leans, 71 to 80. Slaughter bulls sold from 90 to $1.50. And high dressing, 101 to 108.50. Feeder steers, medium and large ones, seven weights, $1.51 to $1.55, eight weights, $1.52 to $1.60. This concludes the Greenville Livestock Auction. In the direct trade, in the direct cattle trade from the National daily direct slaughter cattle report. Steers on a live basis traded at 145 to 150. On a dress basis traded at 235 to 240. Heifers on a live basis traded at 146 to 150. And on a dress basis traded at 238 to 240. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 355 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $87.61, which was 52 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading. Choice carcasses were $238.55, which was a dollar and a half lower, with select carcasses at $236.93, which was 51 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter, federal inspected cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000, compared to 119,000 for last week and 125,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 434,000, compared to 423,000 last week and 426,000 one year ago. Reals weekly hay report for January the 22nd. Compared to last week, alfalfa and alfalfa grass hay in small squares sold 30 cents to $1.90 lower per bale, in large squares $15 lower. Grass hays in small squares sold 10 cents to 20 cents lower per bale, in large rounds $6 to $14 lower. 1,533 bales were sold, which 165.96 tons. Alfalfa square bales sold from $5 to $7.25. Good quality sold from $3.75 to $4. Alfalfa orchard grass, premium quality, small squares, sold for $4 to $5.50. Small squares grass hay, good quality, sold $2.25 to $3. Alfalfa and Timothy grass, large squares, sold for $42.50. Alfalfa clover orchard sold for $6 per bale. Clover large rounds, $50 a bale. Clover orchard grass, small squares, $4.25 per bale. Alfalfa mixed grass, small squares, sold for $4.25. Orchard grass, small squares, $5 to $6.25. Small squares of the orchard grass, good quality, sold for $3.75. Large rounds sold for $30 to $67.50. Mixed grass hays, small squares, good quality, $2.50 to $3.25. Large rounds, $25 to $50. Corn stalks, large rounds sold at $21 per bale. Wheat straw, small squares, sold from $3.70 to $4 a bale. Large rounds sold from $23 to $31. That concludes our livestock report. This is Lyle Flock with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. February corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.41. March corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.43. February corn delivered to Scottville, $4.32. March corn delivered to Scottville, $4.34. February beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.11. March beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville, $13.06. February wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.89. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $4.41. Corn at Scottville is $4.32. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $13.11. And wheat at Scottville, $5.89. The Senate approved a farm bill yesterday afternoon in a 68-32 vote. Now it goes to the president to be signed. At the end of the week last week, there were some significant drops in the livestock market. I spoke with Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions to find out what happened.
Well, we saw an absolute collapse in the box beef market at the end of last week, and that led to sharply lower futures. As we started this week, we are trying to consolidate that a little bit because we've seen such big losses. And the futures market for live cattle is currently trading at quite a discount to the cash market. And so we need to be able to consolidate those losses here above support for live cattle at about the 140 area. We're seeing kind of the opposite thing happening in the in the lean hog complex, where futures are trading at quite a premium to the cash market. Now, the cash market is starting to stabilize. High beef prices are starting to send some business to the pork side. It looks like our carcass weights may be topping out, and so there are some encouraging early signs. We are also getting support from expectations that we're going to see a hole in market hog supplies in the weeks and months to come because of the PD virus, but thus far we really haven't seen that, so some caution is still advised.
So overall, a little bit of caution expected in the hog market. That's a good thing to keep in mind. And especially with the Illinois Pork Expo coming up here in Peoria, I'm sure a lot of people will be going to that to learn more about the PED virus.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a virus that's estimated to be affecting 40% of the nation's hog facilities and continues to spread. The recent data showing that we're expanding as fast as we ever have. So this is an ongoing problem that is really high risk for the pork industry. Our carcass weights are so high, though, that we're continuing to challenge the demand with a large supply, and that's what's been suppressing our prices over the last several months.
And since this primarily affects young piglets, we may not see this effect for a few more months.
Yeah, but we've been dealing with it for some time now. So based on the numbers and the reports, one would expect that we would start seeing that hole in supplies start to show up as we get toward the end of the first quarter of this year. That's what the market's anticipating.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Iowa State University has identified new strains of the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. Pork Checkoff Director of Swine Health Information and Research, Dr. Lisa Becton, says efforts continue into finding the origin of this disease.
We're still monitoring for different types or strains of the PED virus because, the first strain that was identified had 99.4% similarity to isolates from China. So we know this is an RNA virus and that the virus could potentially mutate or change, but we also don't know where the virus came from. So researchers and scientists have been continuously monitoring the strains of virus that are in the United States, especially if there's a different presentation, say if it's not quite as devastating to a farm or if it's even more virulent. Really just trying to understand, is there something going on out there that we're not aware of? And it's just one way that we can continue to track and monitor these viruses and make sure that we aren't seeing dramatic changes. And in this case, if there are some changes, then we can continue to do follow-up to try to find out where they came from, what does this mean, and what further investigation do we need to do.
For the pork producer, this news serves as a good reminder about biosecurity.
It really just reinforces the need to continue to assess and adjust biosecurity as needed, especially if you have anything that might be from a foreign country coming into your farm, whether that's a product, equipment, or even people. It's just really to evaluate that part of it. But then anything from within the United States, it's really applying a certain level of biosecurity to make sure you're not running the risk of bringing that virus onto your farm.
The Pork Checkoff offers the latest information on PEDV on its website, pork.org. Valuable biosecurity tips and the latest research findings can be found through this resource. In honor of our farmers, we are celebrating Farmers Appreciation Month this February. I spoke with Skip Kleinfelter of Linco Precision about what his business provides the ag community.
About 7 or 8 years ago, we got into the precision farming equipment business and putting some of the technology on our own farm equipment. And it grew from a seed meter machine into GPS products. And one thing led to another, and we doubled sales several years in a row, which I believe we've been very service-oriented is why that's happened. But in 2011, my wife and I purchased the assets of Linco Equipment in El Paso and merged them with Precision Seeding Technologies, which was our former company. And we specialize in GPS, steering, phone application control, water management equipment, precision planting product, management software. And we also got into fertilizer equipment, and we build floater trucks. That first one went to Nova Scotia, and we sent some around the United States. We have 6 or 7 of them in progress right now, liquid and dry, and all types of sandblasting, commercial painting. Got a paint booth big enough to hold a semi-trailer and a 31,000 square foot facility up here at El Paso. We maintain some smaller warehouses, one in McLeansboro, Illinois, one in Nokomis at our hometown.
As new technologies become more prevalent in farming, Kleinfelter says farmers will be facing different management struggles.
I think that's a common misconception that it makes it easier. I think it actually raises the level of management that's needed. But as we move forward, as the agriculture consolidates more, there will be more management, more decisions made by computers. And some of the decisions that we felt in our gut that were right are actually proving our history, different yield monitoring, soil tests. We can check rainfall, know if we need to add more nutrients here or there. If we're short on water, maybe you shouldn't be putting more out there. Just be a waste. We'll better manage things as we go forward. One of the largest things you've seen in the news lately is who owns the data for this. Monsanto and others have kicked off kind of an ad campaign where they're assuring everybody they're going to own their own data, and it will be your decision whether you share it with the big companies or not. But the only way we're going to get progress is that that data is shared in a larger database. That's kind of where we're going today. And some of these things, some people look at them as conveniences, and they're really not conveniences a lot of times anymore. It's the return on investments there on, you know, a lot of these products. There are some products that, you know, don't cost that much, but there's over 1,000% annual return on investment. And, you know, we look for anything above 20%. So we need to adopt those technologies that are well proven and pay well every year. Everybody needs to do those just to survive in the future. And then some of these others, depending on your management skills, capabilities, what you will be able to adopt on your own agricultural enterprise.
As for farmers in the area and all around the U.S., Kleinfelter says it's important to keep in mind where the food supply comes from in this country and to be grateful to those who grow it.
Well, obviously, I'm a farmer myself. I farm in the Nokomis to Taylorville, towards Decatur. We're actively engaged in it ourselves. I think that's been something that has helped me understand what our client base expects. We expect service. We have one client that bought a fair amount of equipment off of us over the years, and the first 3 years he dealt with me, he never asked me price. The only thing he asked is that I keep my cell phone charged, and I believe that's one of the big things in technology and farming today is you need to work with somebody that actually offers a service, and I as a farmer understand that, and I think that's why our company has grown. But farming, we feed a lot of people, each of us do today, and we need to have a safe food supply and an abundant food supply, which we do enjoy both in the United States. Farmer Appreciation Month is a good thing as far as I'm concerned. We need to appreciate where the food supply comes from in this country. I just wish everybody safe spring and season as we move forward. It's awfully important to pay attention. We need to make sure that we have our lighting, our SMV signs up to date. You know, nothing that we really do here, but everybody needs to be safe and careful. We've all known somebody who's suffered from something of not being safe, and we've had personal family experience with that. So we try to push that on all of our clients as we can.
Again, that was Skip Kleinfelter with Linco Precision. To learn more about Linco Precision, you can go to their website, lincoprecision.com, or watch for them on Fox, WRSP, and WCCU later this month. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.